Good morning, or should I say good cold morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is our Cup of Goodness program for those of you that are still listening. As they used to say in TV in the old days, don't touch that dial, don't touch that button, don't touch that mouse, don't touch that digital remote. Just listen up this morning. We're going to talk about comfort. What better days than to talk about comfort as we're going through things today in our nation and in our families and in our personal lives and our private little lives that we're dealing with all these issues and stresses that are in our day-to-day life, and especially with ho-ho-ho Christmas coming up, then we know that there's a lot of stress going on in people's lives. Stress, physical stress, mental stress, financial stress, health stress, family stress, educational stress, job stress, you name it. It's stressful these days. We're going to be looking at comfort again. Now, folks, you should know by now, this is program number 117, and we have talked about the risen Savior. We've talked about King James Bible. We've talked about rightly dividing the word of truth, not according to dispensational application, depending upon who your guru was, whether he was an artist who can draw on chalk while he preaches, or if he's a loud screamer, or he snorts when he preaches, anybody like that from the olden days, as they would say, many who are still around, but their little clones are out there teaching King James Bible, but they're not rightly dividing, and they're putting a hard preaching on people by taking you to Peter and Jude. And 1st, 2nd John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, actually. But they mostly stay in 1st John, and they always talk about 1st John chapter 1, but they just somehow seem to skip 1st John chapter 3, that if you've sinned at all, you've done anything you shouldn't have done, then you're no longer born of God. I know why those guys don't deal with chapter 3, because they can't explain it. But they use chapter 1, you know, confessing your sins, to put that little guilt trip and that fear into you. So, anyway. So what we're talking about here is we're going to the Scriptures for comfort. And what have the Scriptures said to us about comfort so far? Well, we've looked at the fact and we say we need to be comforted together with Paul. That's what we're finding out here, that our comfort comes not only from the Scriptures, but it doesn't come from the Gospels. And honestly, it doesn't come from Psalms as much as you would think, or Proverbs as much as you would think. It comes from Paul's books. Well, if it's coming from Paul himself, then it's coming from a King James Bible. And the only way to find out that it's correctly applied to us is by looking to Paul only, not along with the Gospels, not along with the tribulation books, or the books that are at the end of your Bible, but we're looking to Paul's books. And they all tie together so nicely. Well, of course they would. Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, is the one who taught these words to Paul. It's that simple. God is the God of all comfort. We should be comforted learning from Paul. We should be comforted during our tribulational times. We're going to have tribulation. That's the way it is. We're going to have tribulation so we can help others with their tribulation. Not so we can tell them we have had the same tribulation, only worse. No, because how it was that we were comforted in our tribulation, not to brag about our tribulation, but to tell them how we were comforted during that tribulation. And those of us that turn to a King James Bible, we know where to find that comfort. It's tough. Reading your King James Bible still doesn't pay your bills or fix your health issues, but it gives you comfort knowing that God is there. The risen Savior is there. He's given us the words we need for strength, for encouragement. So there we go so far. Now this morning, I think this morning is quite interesting. We're going to go, I'll give you the conclusion here at the beginning. We're going to go through some comforting verses, and you're going to find out that we get our comfort from Paul. We're going to find out more. All right, yes, come on. Our comfort is from Jesus Christ, of course, the risen Jesus Christ, his teachings to Paul. But Paul is the one, as he was walking around during his days, he was the one that people were looking out for. He was the one they were looking for, because he would bring them words of comfort. He would bring them the words from Christ. So that's what you got to keep in mind here. So what we're going to see here, though, is we're going to see some other names besides Paul. We're going to see Tychicus. We're going to read about Onesimus a little bit, Epaphroditus, Aristarchus, Marcus, another guy named Jesus, probably pronounced like we do today, Jesus or something. These are his fellow workers. These are the people that went out to people with Paul's direction as the apostle. And these people give comfort to the crowds that were out there that were looking for the word from the risen Savior. They were looking to Paul. They were looking to the people that Paul sent. And that's the same thing with our website. I'm not Paul. Although I am Paul's son, I'm not the son of Paul. But I can show you in the scriptures. I can show you what Paul has taught me. I can show you what Paul has taught many people in this country and in this world that have turned to this website. Is it the website that comforts them? No, it's the words of the risen Savior in the King James Bible, in the books that Paul has written, applied to you. And that's how this works. It's not complicated. But I'm going to show you some scriptures here this morning based on the fact that I hope that you're looking to your scriptures for your comfort. And we're going to read some things here. We're going to find out again that your King James Bible is your source of comfort, rightly divided, of course, through Paul. Now, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. I see this morning that we have minus 2 degrees here. But for you folks down in Texas, you've got 30 degrees. And that's pretty cold for you folks, I think. We're prepared for this cold up here, supposedly. We have the thick insulation in our homes. We have the heat. Some people have 2 years backup heaters in case one goes with electricity, you light your fire or something. My office is nice and toasty because I've got some oil lanterns going on. And that's how we do things up here. You guys aren't prepared for that, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. 30 degrees is pretty chilly for you folks down there. It's actually, it's probably not chilly. It's just downright cold. Just snuggle up with your Bible this morning. Keep the heat going. Keep your fire. Keep your warmth there. Keep it going here this morning. Snuggle up with your Bible and a good warm cup of coffee or a warm glass of water, warm glass of tea or whatever it is. And let's get going here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Let's read this thing this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Well, who's this Tychicus guy? How can he comfort our hearts? What does he have to do with us today? This was just during Paul's day? No, not necessarily. Tychicus had everything to do. He was the one that wrote down or penned the book of Ephesians. He and Onesimus came up with the book Colossians. Now, did God tell these guys what to write? No, this is from Paul. We know Paul is the one that God went to visit. But Paul taught these things. Tychicus and Onesimus, and Epaphroditus, by the way, he penned out Philippians. And so, if you were to do a little study and see who wrote these books, no, Paul's the one that, those are his words. But who penned them down for him? Who was doing his typing? Who was on the website with a keyboard, you know? Who does that? Well, that wasn't Paul all the time. It was Tychicus and Onesimus, Epaphroditus. These guys, he had his crew that helped him. So these people would go to them with, what to say here? Might comfort your hearts. Well, if Tychicus wrote down the book of Ephesians, then we should get a lot of comfort from the book of Ephesians. Our hearts should be comforted. Not just our brains, not just physical, but our hearts should be comforted. And I'll tell you what, I can't think of a much better book to read every day, a number of times, and that's the book of Ephesians. Take your time. In my size Bible, I've got like 5 pages, 6 pages. You can read Ephesians every day, and you get something new each time. It's a marvelous book. It will most definitely comfort your heart. The more that you learn about Ephesians, the more that you learn about Paul being the one that was by revelation from Christ himself, taught us about the dispensation of the grace of God, talks about the mystery that was given to Paul, and it was made known to us, the mystery that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I, meaning Paul, was made a minister, and unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, it's a fantastic book. Comforting your hearts. Ephesians. That's what that's talking about. Sent to Tychicus. Tychicus is the one that penned that down. You see how that works out? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Let's see what this thing has to say. Actually, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1 and blend into chapter 2. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Number of verses to read here, so pay close attention or follow along in your Bible. Although if you follow along in your modern Bible, you're not going to get what we're talking about here because it doesn't say the same thing. It just doesn't say the same thing. And how can two books who don't say the same things be called the Word of God? Whatever. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But what Paul knew, what Paul's talking with Christ, and he's hearing what Christ is saying, and I do believe in 1 Corinthians 13:10, Paul knew about the King James Bible, when it was going to be written down. He knew all this stuff was going to be put into a book. And he says, listen, I would so much rather be with Christ. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul is willing to stay on this earth. He was willing to stay here, even though he would rather be with Christ. He wanted to stay here for other people. Now, that's a love, okay? Sure, Jesus Christ died for us. But you know, think about it, Paul lived for us. He stayed here, and he taught us these things. Verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul knew that he could be a benefit to these people to get the true joy of faith and to have the true Savior, the risen Savior. Then he says, only let your conversation, that's your day-to-day living, your manner of life, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, the gospel of Christ is not the gospel of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the gospel of Christ. This is the risen Savior. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, it's the gospel of Christ. Now, as I read these verses, I know some folks out on the website. I know some folks out in the listening areas that you're having some hard times. We're having depression. We're having issues. We're having health issues, like all the things I listed earlier. And what Paul says, listen, when Paul hears of these affairs that he had to listen to in his days, he says, listen, folks, stand fast. He says, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You can only have one spirit and one mind striving together when you only have one Bible. You've got one Savior. It's the true Bible. You're rightly divided to one apostle. That's Paul. It just makes total sense. Okay, so he says, verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. If we are afraid of these issues that we have, and we whine and we complain, and you don't like what you hear from the preacher, and you don't like the old hymns, all that stuff, and you talk about with people, to them, when they hear this stuff, it's an evident token of perdition. They know that you're not real. And all the folks that are no longer listening to what Paul taught us in his King James Bible and this website that we used to have with us, those folks that have left, people that know that they've left, it was a token to them that, see, this stuff about the risen Savior, this stuff about a King James Bible, this stuff about Paul, this stuff from this guy named Paulson, that's all bogus. Because they gave in. It wasn't real to them. Isn't that sad? What a testimony a quitter has to the lost world. So he says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So some of these tribulations and some of these trials we're having, we got to stand fast in one spirit. Stay in your one Bible. Follow your one apostle. You've got one baptism. It's a spiritual baptism. It's not the water baptism. And if you want to commune with God and have communion, you read your Bible. You don't need to go through this other procedure that was given to the Jews, to the apostles. You've got your Bible. You want to have communion? Open up your King James Bible and commune with God. You pray to Him, and He will show you as you read what He wants to say. That's communion. Okay, back to verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that's Paul, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And then he goes on in that chapter about being one. And that's where we get our comfort. We get our comfort, believe it or not, from our trials and our tribulations for a number of reasons. We talked about to help other people with it. And like he says here, it's something we are given in behalf of Christ. Not only do we believe on Him, but we're going to suffer for His sake. It's because of Him we're suffering, if that's why you're suffering. Sometimes our suffering is because we bought too much stuff. Sometimes our suffering is we're just not eating the right foods, and we're not doing the right things, and our bodies are just going to have, they're just going to react to what they're going to react to. Our jobs, are you being fired because of Him, or is it just this economy and what's going on here? The marriage situations, what's going on here? Maybe shouldn't have even been married in the first place. I mean, all sorts of things. We have to reap what we sow, and that'll challenge our comfort zone. But we still, no matter what's going on, we turn to this King James Bible, and that'll keep us from getting down in the dumps. That'll be our comfort. Let's keep going here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, where we're kind of there. Let's go down here to verse 19 now. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, here we go with Timothy now, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now remember, we read yesterday that when Titus was coming, Titus would show up and he would give those people comfort. And Titus would receive comfort because he sees these people that are living the life that pleases God based on what Paul has taught to Titus. We have the book of Titus in our Bible. And do you get comfort reading the book of Titus? We talked about that yesterday. Now we've got Timothy. I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort. Paul is comforted knowing this Timothy guy is going to people. So I would be comforted as a pastor. I would be comforted as the web person for this website, knowing that people are going to Timothy and going to Titus for the daily walk. And I would give me comfort to know that we have people still trying to live the life that pleases God. Okay, verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Now, there's a little slap right there. Paul says, I'm sending you Timothy. I don't have anybody like-minded who will naturally care for your state, because all we want our things. For all seek their own. Nobody really wants to hear from Timothy. Nobody really wants to hear from Titus. Well, why is that? Well, because all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But, he says, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So as we're looking at the situation, Paul wants to send these people Timothy. Timothy will give them comfort. Okay, so because I can't go to you folks out there, I send you a King James Bible. I tell you about Paul, and I also tell you about Timothy. And you read the book of Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and you should be able to get some comfort out of there. Like I said yesterday, that's a pretty tough book. Really. I mean, it isn't, but it is. In this day and age, if you're going to try to walk some of the stuff that's in Timothy and Titus chapter 2, especially sound doctrine, you are going to get that persecution. You are going to get that tribulation. You are going to be in need of comfort. Do you get your comfort from a King James Bible, Paul, Timothy, and Titus? That's what Paul is sending in Timothy to him. Now listen to this about Timothy. In chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For this cause have I sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son," spiritual son, by the way. Paul was not married, did not have kids. I tell you, the people that say that he has are a perverted bunch of preachers, I'll tell you. "And faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So Timothy is going to go to people and teach us Paul's ways. Paul calls it his manner of life. And we learn from Paul how to be the Christian, what we do in our day-to-day walk. It's that simple. And it's not difficult. There's not a single thing that Paul teaches that we can't do. We just choose not to. And I'll tell you right now, one of these days I'll probably do a program or two on the Beatitudes in the Gospels. What Jesus told those Jews to do in those days, we can't even do some of those today. We can't. So, whatever. I guess people want to try to struggle with the Beatitudes, thinking they're doing a great job and God will bless them when they do. And when they mess up, they confess their sins and they don't know if God's got all their confession. If they've confessed everything, they don't know if God's heard it all. What a scary thing. What a mess of confusion is what it is. And we also know when Paul showed up in the cities, there was confusion. Well, of course there's confusion. You're stuck with all these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, James, and Peter, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and here you do all that stuff, and you're frustrated, and you're tired of the music in your church, and this guy comes along with a King James Bible, again, one Bible, rightly divided. He says these things. Oh, such confusion. Not really. Just throw out all this modern religion junk and get into a King James Bible, which is over 400 years old, and it's just as relevant today as it was 400 years ago, if not even more so, because we're learning about the tribulation that just is just around the corner, folks. It just has to be based on what we're learning from Paul and everything. Oh, wow. So we need to be comforted as these things continue like this. Now, here we go. We're not going to get done this morning. We're going to have to extend this thing into Monday, like I always do, talk too long in these things. Let's go here to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Just a snitch of a page over there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Paul really had a heart for these people that had never talked to him yet. See, folks out there in the radio land in Dallas and Fort Worth, you've probably not heard this stuff about Paul. You've not met Paul. You've not read his writings. Your pastors will not teach you about Paul. So when Paul says, "I have great conflict for these people, and for as many as not have seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted." This radio program exists for now, so you can get your hearts comforted from the scriptures, from Paul, and from the risen Savior, rightly divided. It's that simple. He says in verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God," that's Ephesians chapter 3, "and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now, remember, I'm not saying that Paul has the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but Paul will teach us what Christ told him, because Christ is the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The only way you're going to learn about those treasures of wisdom and knowledge is through a King James Bible. Here I go again, rightly divided through Paul. So you don't need to turn to me for these things. You just get yourself a King James Bible, not a modern one, because they're printer. They're messing with these new ones. Get yourself a 1611 King James Bible. Give me a call if you want one, and I'll send you one. And you can sit down all by your little self. You can get that full assurance of understanding. You can have that comfort of your hearts because you know where to look in your Bible. And the Bible will start to not only just make sense, it will truly become your source of comfort. So let's keep going here, although I can see we're not going to finish up here. We can get one more here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 8. Well, we'll go to verse 7, I guess, here. "All my state shall Tychicus," I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's what I see, Tychicus. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So there's Tychicus again being brought into the picture here. Then it goes on with Onesimus. It talks about Epaphras. There's people that, through Paul's teachings, they're there. So what did Tychicus do? Well, remember, he gave us Ephesians. He gave us Colossians. He's the one that penned them down. So he would naturally be able to go to people in those days. We don't have a book called Tychicus and Onesimus, but they are the ones that wrote them down. So we still have their effect. We still have the results of their ministry. Marvelous stuff. Well, we're going to have to close up this program for this week. We will pick it up again Monday. We'll finish up a couple more verses on comfort. Nothing better than to be comforted. You sit down with your Bible, put your nice big thick blanket around you that you can get at Sam's Club or Costco, and grab a cup of coffee or some warm tea or whatever, your dog or cat next to you, and sit back and watch it snow outside and just enjoy your scriptures, because if you understand them correctly to read, very simple, rightly divide them, and your hearts can be comforted. No better comfort than when the Lord comforts you today through his scriptures, through Paul, King James Bible. Your music does not comfort you. Your music makes your flesh feel good, but that's not comfort. There's a difference in the music comforting people and the scriptures. Sunday we'll be in Ephesians again, and we will be starting our programs on marriage, divorce, remarriage, pastors being divorced, pastors being remarried, the struggles you're having within your home. What if you're divorced? How does God look at you today? Is it what these pastors are saying nowadays? No, the pastors, I'm telling you, have got something fierce all wrong. You just got to go to Paul's books, and you can learn some fantastic stuff about marriage, divorce, remarriage. And listen, folks, it's just because it's the scriptures. There'll be no opinion there. You'll see what the scriptures have to say. You're just going to have to trust that they're the scriptures, because your modern Bibles won't give you comfort in your hearts, and it won't teach you the truth about marriage either. So we'll talk to you on Sunday and or Monday.